I have a few comments myself and things, but I want you to hear what the Scripture says about the resurrection. And not just the gospel accounts. You will notice that I included none of the gospel accounts. I would recommend that you go back this afternoon after the services are over and read at least one of the gospel accounts of the resurrection. They're wonderful and lovely. But I've chosen specifically not to do so. It is very common on Easter to do so, to even have pageants and so forth. But I want to tell you more about what the resurrection means to you. I could tell you 100 different accounts from the New Testament. My mind goes to the account of Lazarus, eh? I am the resurrection and the life, he said. If a man believes in me, he shall never die. Wow. But I'm not going to do that. I could, though. I am going to. That's in John chapter 11. And I'm not going to do that, but you should read it. And also, when he makes such claims, I am the resurrection and the life. If you recall, was it Mary that he was talking to? And when he said, if a man believes in me, he shall never die. Do you believe this? I preached that sermon, I think, from the book of John. Do you believe this? And she said, sure, I believe in the resurrection to come in the last day. And Jesus sort of gently said, no, Mary, come over here. Look at me. I am the resurrection and the life. Wow. Is that beautiful? Yes. We're not waiting for the resurrection. We have the resurrection in Christ Jesus. Romans 1 through 4. That's Romans 1, 1 through 4. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Gee, I'm going back to the book of Romans. A bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. This is all having to do with Isaiah and the books that we've studied back there. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. The whole book of Romans is about the resurrection. And it's based on the doctrine of the resurrection. If there's no resurrection, Paul says, you're still in your sins and you will perish. You're of all men most miserable. But then Clay was reading. I would have emphasized this word. I'm not criticizing you. But now, is Christ risen? Christ has risen. And therefore we have glorious hope. And that's, it's powerful stuff. But it is the resurrection which is at the center of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go to chapter 10 on those famous passages that we like to quote, verses 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has what? Raised him from the dead. You will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There again, the Apostle Paul puts the doctrine of the resurrection and the resurrection of Christ at the very center of the doctrine of salvation. If you don't believe that Christ is risen, you are not a biblical Christian. You can't be. It's all about the resurrection. I've already mentioned downstairs some of my motivation for speaking this morning about the exclusivity of the resurrection. No other religion has resurrection. Oh, please, don't remind me of the Eastern religions that have reincarnation. Not the same, having nothing to do with it. You might be reincarnated as a goat or something. Who cares? Resurrection is not some change into another person or something like that. It is the same person, Jesus Christ, who died, who was raised from the dead. He's still Jesus. That's the whole point. And it's the whole point for you. But let's talk about exclusivity. It is the, we live in a day in which our belief that Christ and the resurrection of Christ is the central core belief that is required for any man, human being, to enter into the presence of God. That's it. Now, whether you like it or not, that's exclusive. There is no room for Mohammedism. Well, I'm using that term. You would recognize it as Islam. There's no room for Islam. Allah is not a God. There is no room for Shintoism. There's no room for any of the Indian gods, of the millions of them that exist there. All of the Eastern religions are false, because you must believe in the resurrection of this one single person if you will enter into heaven and in the presence of God. I don't know how more exclusive you can get. And I'm standing here in the pulpit where one of these days, by making that claim, well, probably already, I'm going to be identified as a bigot, arrogant, all of those things, because I claim that I have the exclusive religion. Folks, it's not me. Christ is the elect one. It is He who is the chosen one. I am in Him, that I agree with. But the one thing that is absolutely essential to human salvation is a belief in the resurrection. Even Job believed in it, didn't he? Though earthworms eat my body, yet shall I see Him. He understood the resurrection. Abraham understood the resurrection when he offered his son Jacob on that thing and was ready to slay him because he believed, according to the book of Hebrews, that God would raise him from the dead. Already, we don't have to come to the New Testament. We already find a belief, and a powerful belief, a robust belief in resurrection from the Old Testament. They might have not understood it as clear as we do, because we now have the Gospels and all those kinds of things. And guess what, folks? Even the disciples didn't understand it, did they? On the day of the resurrection? Do you remember that hangdog look? You can imagine these two disciples going out to the little town of Emmaus, and they're walking along with their chins down on their chest and grieving over the things that have happened in Jerusalem in the last couple of days. No, they didn't understand the resurrection. They didn't understand it yet. They had believed that the Lord said, I will do this, I promise to do this, I will lead Israel, all of those kinds of things. He was making claims to the resurrection. They simply did not yet understand that it was not only having to do with the resurrection, a spiritual resurrection, but also with an actual earthly resurrection. And that's what I'm going to be talking with you this morning about too, is the resurrection. I'm going to pose a point that you may even find controversial. But I believe that it's right. And I'll try to show it to you. Let me pose what it is. Unless you've already been resurrected, you're not a Christian. What? What? Wait a minute. Are you talking about the resurrection from the dead? I'm talking about the same resurrection that Jesus was telling Mary. I am the resurrection and the life. Turn to Romans chapter 6, would you please? Verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We identify with His death. Therefore, we were buried with Him. Now we identified, we are identified with Him through burial, through baptism unto death. And that just as Christ was raised by the dead, from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should what? Walk in newness of life. He says, as Christ was resurrected, so have you been resurrected to walk in newness of life. Not to talk about heaven, but to walk in newness of life now. You've been resurrected. You have been quickened. Now here's the deal. At this point, it is a spiritual reality. A spiritual resurrection. You have been quickened. You have been made alive from the dead. Made alive. And you are to walk in the newness of life in this life. That's a resurrection, nothing short. That is a resurrection. Ephesians 2 proves it. Ephesians chapter 2, which I've quoted 1,000 times, but I'll do it again. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Is that anything less than a resurrection? Nothing less. You have been resurrected if you have been quickened by the Spirit of God, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the other. But God who is rich in mercy, because of his great love and sorrow flow mingled down. For his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Let me pose this. I'm going to put this in a way that's not theologically correct. It's not politically correct. You're already resurrected. But you have had the spiritual resurrection, and we're waiting for that final resurrection in the future. In other words, it's already begun. You have part in the first resurrection. We are awaiting the second resurrection. That's why it's important to you to know these things. That unless you believe in the resurrection, you have no part in Christ. If Christ is not risen, And if we don't believe in the doctrine of the, we are still in our sins and lost and will perish. But Christ is risen, and so are we. And we are to walk in the newness of life just as Christ did when he was resurrected. We are to walk in newness of life because we've been raised from the spiritual death that we were in unto life, life, life. We've been made alive. From dead to life, that's called resurrection. That our regeneration, that our what has happened in our life is nothing less than a participation with Christ's resurrection. Nothing less. And we need to affirm that and to understand and know it. That we are having part in that resurrection. The one that we're looking forward to, there is one. There is a, I'd like to call it a portion of the resurrection that we're already participating in, is yet, the completion of it is yet to happen. And it will be, we declare that it must be a physical resurrection like Christ. It will be. There will be a lot of change, and that's the reason we read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I don't know what I'm going to look like in heaven. All you hear all these people talking. Will I have my belly? I don't know. Will I have my heart disease? I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to look like or everything. I imagine it's like Tom Cruise. I'm going to look like Tom Cruise. Although I don't know why I'd want to look like Tom Cruise. But anyway, I don't know what I'm going to look like and don't care. I really don't care. But it's going to be different. It's going to be as different, he said, as the seed of corn that is dropped into the ground. Any of you plant a garden? You drop a seed into the ground, and that little seed is rather insignificant, isn't it? hardly anything there. It just has the germ of all of that plant's going to be. And it grows into this marvelous plant. I'm thinking of Illinois corn that goes in for one grain of corn. Goes into the ground and it explodes and becomes a 10-foot, even 12-foot in Illinois sometimes, stalk of corn with numerous ears of corn on it. So different from the single grain that fell into the ground as to amaze you if you look at Discovery or something, a channel like the Nature Channel. It's amazing. And the Apostle Paul says, that's like the resurrection's going to be. We will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the rapture. Did I say that? Did I let that one slip by? Well, we will be changed in that day of the resurrection. There is a waiting for us, the resurrection. And we will be restored and we will be changed. But it is pure speculation to try to determine what that change is going to look like. I would rather rest on the promise of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that it's going to be so gloriously different that we won't be able to remember at all the original body. That it is a glorious resurrection. I want you to know that I believe that the doctrine of salvation, that is, of regeneration, the new birth, is part of the resurrection. That all of this flows out of Christ's resurrection. And that when Christ sends His Spirit and the Spirit of God comes into us and regenerates our soul, it is a resurrection from spiritual death. That's what it is. And that we are participating in the very resurrection that Christ did. Just as He promised Mary and Martha. And just as He raised Lazarus from the dead. So we participate in the resurrection. And we are, that work is the down payment, the earnest payment, and the promise of the finishing of that work upon the appearance of Christ in the last day, when it will all be done. Wow. I don't know about you, but that makes the resurrection personal. You are part of the resurrection. And indeed, if you are a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, you've already been resurrected, at least partially. As far as I'm concerned, all that you need to be really, the spiritual resurrection, is actually, believe it or not, is going to be much more glorious than the physical resurrection. It really is. You know, when you think of the glory of God, what is the hardest thing that God could do? Is it that God could create the stars or God could create the universe? No, that's really a snap of the finger. God can do that with a command. Can God forgive your sins with a snap of the finger? No. It required that He send His own Son. There's nothing harder in the universe than to forgive sin. And yet our God did exactly that. By the very power that He raised up Jesus, He has forgiven you. Ephesians chapter 1, please. If you follow me, if you listen to me speak and teach, you'll know that I'm just reviewing all the wonderful things that I speak over and over again this morning. Beginning at verse 15 in Ephesians chapter 1. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and catch this, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him as at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, which not only in this age but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and given him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Again, I remind you that just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the almighty power of God, that's the only way he could have been raised from the dead. He overcame death, hell, and the grave, Satan, and every other principality and power by that same power. Nothing less. He has changed and regenerated your lost soul. The same power that he used to raise Jesus from the dead has been used to bring you from spiritual death. The resurrection power. We ought to live like resurrected people, eh? We ought to walk in newness of life. And I think that sometimes when we forget that we're resurrected people, we don't always walk in the newness of life. We walk around like some defeated disciple. But it isn't true. You've already participated in the resurrection. The same very same power. We talk about the power of the resurrection of Christ. And my brother Kurt Daniels says we sometimes would talk when we were in teaching and remember our lessons over there about what moment in the Holy Scriptures are you most impressed by, would like to see? And I told him that mine was when Peter denied the Lord for the third time. And one of the Gospels, I can't remember, mentions the fact that Jesus turned and looked at him. Ooh, what a moment, eh? Ooh-wee. When the Son of God turns and looks at you because you've just denied him three times, like he said you would do. What a moment. But Kirk Daniels' moment was, he said, I'd like to have been in that grave when life came back to the body of Jesus Christ. There would have been a and life came back into the body of Jesus Christ. It is. We talk about that all the time. It is a glorious thought, a glorious picture. But the same thing happened to you. I was dead. Now I am alive. I was raised from the spiritual death and darkness. He quickened my soul, and I came out of that grave. I've been resurrected. It isn't the totality of the resurrection, but it's part of the resurrection. It is a resurrection. I have gone from death to life, and it's by the same power that God used to raise Jesus to life. That's what the Scripture says. Never forget it. Never forget it, that you are a resurrection child. You are a child of the resurrection and we are claiming the resurrection as everything that we own is bound up in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection. All of it has to do with the resurrection. The resurrection is the final culmination. And it's only after the resurrection that God the Father can lift up Jesus back to his right hand. It's only after the resurrection. Because the resurrection, as the apostle said, declared him to be the Son of God. And I go back to Romans 1:1-4. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Wow. That's both beautiful, but you have been declared a son of God by the same resurrection. Woo! I don't know about you, but I rejoice in the doctrine of the resurrection. Not just that Jesus was raised from the dead. That's glorious enough. But because of Him and because of God the Father, I now have participated in the resurrection with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I would pray that the people of our church would conduct their lives and walk around every day in the full knowledge that they have been lifted up by the power by which you raised Jesus from the dead. By that same power, you say, you raised us from the dead and quickened our dead souls. And I want all of our people to live in that light, to live in the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we are resurrection people, that we ought to live in newness of life and to walk in it. And that the resurrection, there is a final culmination to this resurrection. But Lord, help us to look back and see that we've already been raised from the dead. And we participated in the resurrection with Christ Jesus our Lord. And we have identified ourselves with Him in baptism, in all aspects. Dying, being buried, and being raised in glory. And so, Father, let us rejoice in the symbolism of baptism, but all more further to claim it and to live like it, like we were resurrected people walking around in newness of life with a new power to live for Christ, knowing that the only thing we await is the final culmination of this glorious resurrection in which we walk. I am the resurrection and the life, He said. Lord, help us to believe every single word of it and to walk as His children, raised from the dead. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.